Rebuilding Trust in Institutions in the Middle East. September 10, 2025. In many parts of the Middle East, citizens live as though the state is absent. Drivers in Baghdad ignore traffic lights. In Cairo, public services are unreliable. And in Beirut, the lights are only on for a few hours per day. Confidence in the fairness of governance is almost non-existent. The people have found ways to work around state institutions for decades, relying on family, sect, or militia networks instead. But as Simon Niamey, professor of economics at the American University of Beirut, explains, this is not just a matter of inconvenience. It erodes one of the most essential foundations of stability, trust. Trust in public institutions is a cornerstone of political and economic stability, social cohesion, and sustainable development, Najim says. And yet across the region, trust has fallen to historic lows. The causes are both structural and immediate. Colonial legacies that left behind government systems that benefited the colonizers, arbitrary borders that deepened sectarian divisions, authoritarian regimes that perpetuated patronage and corruption, and conflicts that decimated institutional capacity from Lebanon and Syria to Iraq, Yemen, and Libya. The result, Niamey argues, is fragility, with states perpetually prone to overlapping crises. Lebanon's experience vividly highlights this point. Since October 2019, a financial collapse, debt default, political paralysis, and mass protests have quickly unfolded. With each crisis, people's faith in government has further deteriorated. When the state failed to provide even basic services, militias and non-state actors filled the vacuum by raising revenues, running clinics, and even supplying electricity. What you end up with is parallel governance, Niamey notes, and that undermines the very legitimacy of the state. Still, he insists, the picture is not beyond repair. The trust deficit is deep, but not irreversible. We can rebuild, but we have to begin with civic empowerment and by creating real avenues for citizens to participate in decision-making through local councils, municipalities, civil society organizations, and public consultations. Where people feel they have a stake, legitimacy will grow. Alongside this, judicial independence and anti-corruption measures are essential. In countries scarred by war, Niamey emphasizes, transitional justice and reconciliation must accompany any attempt to restore the rule of law. Inclusive governance is another pillar that he strongly believes in. Decentralization can bring decisions closer to communities, while electoral reforms and fair representation for women, youth, and diaspora populations broaden the base of legitimacy. At the same time, merit-based recruitment in the public sector, transparent budgeting, and adopting e-government platforms can reduce patronage and corruption while improving efficiency. But how realistic is this? Progress is possible, emphasizes Niamey, but it depends on political will, civic pressure, and a holistic approach that treats governance, law, and economics together, not in isolation. He points to examples in Tunisia, where grassroots organizations with lawmakers in 2014 launched the country's most ambitious wave of decentralization since independence by changing the constitution, empowering local governments, and introducing civic platforms for citizen consultation. Meanwhile, Jordan has established elected governorate councils under its 2015 decentralization law and continues to advance reforms with the support of international organizations, the IMF, and the EU, aimed at strengthening economic stability while widening opportunities for youth and women. In May 2025, municipal elections were held in Lebanon for the first time in nearly a decade, despite war and economic collapse. This served as a reminder that citizens can still be drawn back into public life when given the chance. For Niamey, however, one starting point outweighs all the others. Governments must provide the basics. If people cannot put food on the table or access education and health care, political participation is hollow, he emphasizes. Poverty, alleviation, equity, and reliable public goods must move in tandem with political and economic measures. Are you a member of the media looking to speak with an AUB expert on this topic or others? Please email media inquiries at aub.edu